Psalm 116 in your Bible. We'll look at verse 12 to begin, and we'll look at some of the other verses to follow after we get into the message a little bit this evening. But Psalm 116, verse number 12. Last week was Thanksgiving. We mentioned it already, and we talked about how we should continue to be thankful. And we said how many things we have to be thankful for. In the afternoon last week, we said there was a couple things that are hindrances to a thankful attitude. And those things that we talked about, I'm sure there's many that we could talk about, but a lack of consideration and a lack of contentment. Because we don't often consider the God's blessings, therefore we're not as thankful as we ought to be. And we're often not content with such things as we have, and so rather than be thankful for what we do have, we think, I have to have more, and if I had more, I'd be thankful. So we talked about the fact we need to be count our blessings, consider what God has done, and then be content with such things as we have. And if we do that, we'll be a lot more thankful because we are a very blessed people. And the thing with thanksgiving or being thankful is that it's not only spoken, though. Often we think that thanksgiving is a time where we say thanks to God. Thank you, God, for the many blessings that you have given me. We praise God. We may sing a song of praise and thanksgiving. We may utter it in prayer. We may read some Bible verses, and we say, this is a time where I'm going to audibly, vocally give thanks to God. But thanksgiving is not only our lips. Thanksgiving needs to be our lives. It needs to be lived out. And so a lack of thankfulness doesn't only make us less polite, because we should all use our pleases and thank yous, right? But it doesn't only make us less polite with our words, it also makes us less likely to live right before God. Because if we are thankful to God, it's not just what we say, but how we live our life that expresses that appreciation. We've all had somebody say thank you to us for something that we know was just because they were told or felt obligated to say thank you, but the way they acted towards us did not back up the words that they said thank you with. That's usually the case when we tell a child to say sorry or to be thankful. They really don't want to. They don't really see the need to do it, so they say, I have to do it, so thank you. I don't know about you, but when I was a child, my parents at Christmas time would make us write thank you letters to all relatives who, you know, a little note to say thank you to people who gave us gifts. You know, it was a grudging thing at the time because I want to just play with my toys. I don't want to say thank you. I don't want to have to write a letter. I don't have time to write something to say thank you. But it's a good thing. But if the attitude didn't back it up, it really didn't show a very deep appreciation for something. And here in Psalm 116, verse 12, I think that David, having considered God's blessings, says, I need to do more than just say thank you. Psalm 116:12 says, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? David said there's a lot of benefits that God has given me, a lot of blessings that God has given me in my life. Now, we know that God doesn't give blessings only if we say thank you. God gives every good and perfect gift is from above. But David said, I want my life to show that I appreciate what God has done for me. Because that word render, what shall I render to the Lord, is what can I do to show my appreciation? What will my life be able to show? How will my life show that I really am thankful to God for his many benefits or many blessings that he has bestowed in my life? And at the beginning of the chapter, which we won't really take time to consider this evening, he talks about some of the blessings that God has given him. And so then when he comes to verse 12, he says, now I've seen all those things, now I want to show God how thankful I am for those things. And then at the end of the chapter, he talks about ways of doing that, ways of rendering to the Lord his thanks, not only with his lips, but also with his life. Essentially, rendering to the Lord our lives and things from our life as appreciation for what he has done really is the fruit of thanksgiving. That's why I entitled the message tonight, The Fruit of Thanksgiving. The fruit of thanksgiving is not just those two words, thank you, but the fruit of thanksgiving is the way we live our lives to follow on. There's three things I'd like to think about tonight, and we won't be long. I know I took a little longer in the message this morning, so we'll try and make up for it tonight and keep it a little bit shorter. But to think about three things that show that we really are thankful for what God has done in our life. The fruit of thanksgiving. Let's pray together as we begin. This evening, Lord, we are thankful that we have so much to be thankful for. And we thank you that in your word you teach us that we are not only to say the words, but we are to demonstrate a life of thanksgiving. So help us to see how we can do that tonight. Because we do want you to know that we appreciate you, Lord. We love you and we thank you that you've done so much for us in our life. But thanks from our lips are just not enough when we stop and think about the many, many, many blessings that you bestowed upon us. So help us to see how we can demonstrate it with our life, we pray. Not only so that you would see it, but so that others would see in our lives that thanksgiving and that they would see what a good God you are. So thank you for this time and speak to our hearts, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I want us to see, first of all, the sacrifice. Ask the question, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me in verse 12? And in verse 17, he says, I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving. And we know that in the Bible times, they offered sacrifices. They took the certain things to an altar and gave them, whether it was a blood sacrifice or different things that were given to God. That was a sacrifice in that way. And we don't do things exactly that way today. Obviously, Jesus came and he fulfilled all the requirements of all the sacrifices. And we're thankful that he did that. Praise God for his great salvation that he provided for us. But David says here that he says, in rendering to the Lord what I want to show him how thankful I am, I will offer to him the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. True heartfelt thanksgiving brings about a willingness to sacrifice. Now, sacrifice is something we often is neglected in our day and age, really, isn't it? We are people who like comfort, and we are people who don't like to lack comfort. So we don't like to give up things. And the definition of sacrifice, Webster's dictionary definition, you see it on the screen there, the destruction or surrender of anything for the sake of something else, devotion of some desirable object in behalf of a higher object, or to a claim deemed more pressing. Think about that in relationship to our giving to God. Because it says that it's the devotion of some desirable object, something we want, in behalf of a higher object or devotion to a higher thing. So we're saying, I like this, this is precious to me, but God is worth more than this to me. You know, sometimes I think that as Christians, we think we've sacrificed if we give something we really didn't want away. But that's not a sacrifice, is it? It doesn't even fit this definition because it says that it is a desirable object, but there's a realization that there's a higher thing than that object, a higher one in the case of God than that object. A claim deemed more pressing. I may think I need this, but God has placed upon my heart that I should give it to him, and giving it to him, we'll see in a few minutes, may mean giving it to somebody else. That's a more pressing need for that. So we sacrifice it for God to show that we are thankful to him. Again, we don't hear much or see much in the way of sacrifice today. We think we're sacrificing for God when we show up for church for an hour on Sunday morning. I gave God an hour of my time. What more could he possibly want? Well, with 168 hours, I think it is, in a week, that's really not a whole lot, is it? But we sometimes think that's the way our mentality often thinks. Well, I gave God an hour of my time, or I gave God that quarter that I had in my pocket. I could have used that towards added a dollar to that. I could have got a small coffee from someplace. But no, that's not really a sacrifice. we're talking about the sacrifice of thanksgiving. It means that in thankfulness to God, I give myself to Him. I surrender myself to God because of my devotion to Him. And because He has blessed me so much, I want to show Him how much I love Him for His many blessings to me. And so therefore, I give myself to Him. I set aside fleshly goals and ambitions to seek His will and direction. I give Him first place in my life rather than the last place that so often is the place we give God in our life. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Isn't that sacrifice? Seek God first. He deserves the first place. And so we say, I have other things that I would like to do. I have other occupations, other things that I would like to use my time for. But first of all, I'm going to give my time to God. We just sang that song, a very fitting song for this part of the message tonight. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my silver and my gold, not a mite would I withhold. Doesn't mean that when the offering plate comes by, we dump everything out of our wallets. But it just means, Lord, everything I have belongs to You. You direct me and I want to use it. However You see fit to direct me to use it, that's the way I'll use it for You. It's a sacrifice that is to Him. It may be as simple as giving Him my time when I'd really like to do something for myself. Bible reading and prayer rather than watching TV, perhaps. Come home from work, we're tired, and we think, all I want to do is just have some me time. But wouldn't it be better to sometimes say, God, You deserve my time first. What shall I do? And God understands. Jesus said to disciples, come apart and rest a while. He knows our needs. But if we yield ourselves to Him, that's the best thing that we can do. Some may say, well, I will give up this career that I would like to do because I believe God is calling me to serve Him in some way on the mission field or so on. My sacrifice, though, is because of His sacrifice. We love Him because He first loved us. If somebody risked their life to save your life, what would you think? You say, I am indebted to You for the rest of my life because You saved my life. You were willing to sacrifice Yourself for me. And therefore, what can I do for You? That would be the attitude that we would have. In verse 13 of our text, he says, I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. Talking about salvation here. Salvation that we have in Jesus Christ is because of what? Because of His sacrifice for us. So when we sacrifice ourselves for Him and sacrifice our time and our finances, our talent, whatever, we say, Lord, I will give it to You first. We are not doing something that He hasn't already done for us. Because He, in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation and took upon Himself the form of a man. And being found in fashion as a man, He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. That's what He's already done for us. He's already sacrificed Himself for us. In Philippians 2, verses 5 to 8 is where we see that. But seeing His love, His humility, and His suffering should make us so thankful. We say, Lord, I give myself to You. I give You my life. C.T. Studd made this statement. If Jesus Christ be God and died for me, then no sacrifice can be too great for me to make for Him. So that sounds like an impressive statement, but who was He? Well, He was a son of from a wealthy family who got saved, I believe, in his college time frame, age. He was a famous cricket player. Now, I know cricket doesn't mean much to us on this side of the ocean, but cricket is big in England. That's where he was from. Cricket is big in some of the islands and so on, and some of the places that were influenced by England years ago. But he was a famous cricket player on his college university team. And he said, if Jesus Christ be God and died for me, then there's no sacrifice that can be too great for me to make for Him. And he said, I could have a successful career as a cricket player. I'm from a wealthy family. I could have a life of ease, but I'm going to sacrifice that. And I'm going to go to China to be a missionary. That was a sacrifice that he made. Why? Because he said, Jesus Christ gave himself for me. And I want to show him how much I appreciate what he did for me and give myself for him. He later wrote the words, only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. There was no regret in his mind as to what he had chosen to do. He said, what's done for Christ will last. I'm going to give myself. We know Romans 12 verses 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Why is it reasonable for us to give everything of ours for him? Because he gave everything of himself for us. So therefore it's reasonable. And if we stop and start counting the blessings that God has poured out upon us, beginning with our salvation, but certainly not ending there, as we think about the things he does for us in our life and his presence every day in our life and his comfort and his peace, his grace, all those things, if we start adding those up one by one, it's a reasonable service to say, God, my life is yours. We have to be a living sacrifice for him, to give our lives for him, live our lives for him. People say, I'd be willing to die for Christ. That's a great statement to make, but are you willing to live for Christ? It's perhaps a more important statement to ask, isn't it? Are we willing to live our lives for Christ? On the road of Damascus, Paul, when he met Jesus face to face, what were his words? Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? What is he saying? Is that the moment he became a believer, my life, Lord, is yours. I give myself to you. And he did, didn't he? His life was given in sacrifice for the Lord regularly. He tells us in Romans 12 there that our life should be a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. Keep your life pure and your life holy. You know, we have to sacrifice some of the world's pleasures so that our life will be a living sacrifice that is holy to God. We sacrifice some of the pleasure of this life, because this life, people say, hey, do this, it's fun, do this, it's great. And we have to look at those things and say, no, that's not right. I'm not going to do that. I would give that up because I would rather please God. As you reflect on what Jesus did to provide your salvation, it should make you so thankful that you're willing to sacrifice for him. Let me say this tonight to all of us, because I think it does good for us to think about. If his sacrifice doesn't cause us to want to sacrifice for him, we need to stop and think about what he did for us a little bit longer. We need to meditate and ponder on it a little bit more. But the other thing is service. And I realize they go hand in glove as the saying goes, but service is also a fruit of thanksgiving. Sacrifice, yes, but service. In our verse here in verse 16, he says, O Lord, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant and the son of thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. What is he saying? He's saying, Lord, what can I render to you? I will serve you. I am your servant. Twice he repeats it for repetition's sake, not just to repeat it, but for emphasis' sake, to say, Lord, I am your servant. You've loosed my bonds. You've saved me. You blessed me. I'm yours, and I want to serve you. What is service? We talk about serving the Lord quite often, but do we really stop and think about what it means? There are numerous definitions of service. If you look up in a dictionary, of course, there's different aspects of service. We could say we're in a church service, and that would be different than you know, whether you use it as a noun or whether you use it as a verb or what, you know, there's all the different things. But I like what this definition, Webster's dictionary definition. Got my tongue twisted there. The deed of one who serves. That's pretty elementary, isn't it? Service is the deed of one who serves. Labor performed for another. Service is labor performed for another. Duty done or required. But I like those first two. The deed of one who serves, labor performed for another. We often make service, ministry, those two words, we make them into jobs. I serve God as this. I serve God as that. I serve God as an usher. I serve God as a teacher. I serve God preaching. I serve God singing. I serve God, and we say, that's my service. But there's a lot more to service than just those official little tags that we put on them, isn't it? Isn't there? Service is not a thing. It's an attitude. It's a way of life. Service is a attitude to have to say, I will serve God. David said, I am thy servant. I'm going to serve you. He didn't say, I will serve you by this. He said, I'm your servant. What does a servant do? Whatever the master asked him to do. Sometimes we say, Lord, I'll serve you in that way. But that's the way I'll serve God. And you say to some people, do you like serving? Oh, yeah, I serve God. Here's how I serve God. And they name one thing. That's my service to God. Well, that's good. But is that really what we're thinking about when we think about service? We can do things that could be service with a servant's heart, or we could do things that could be service without a servant's heart. Something that we do for God, services, something that we do for God, though it often involves others. In other words, we serve God by serving others. You've got the reference on the screen there from Matthew chapter 25. We won't take time to read it, but you probably may be familiar with it. When Jesus says to the sheep, separating the sheep from the goats, and he says that you have visited me you gave me food when I was hungry, you came into prison and saw me, you clothed me when I was naked, you clothed me, and all those things, and the righteous answer and say, Lord, when did we do those things to you? And Jesus said, as much you've done it to others in my name, you've done it for me. So our service to God many times is serving one another. It's serving other people. And what is the motivation to serve? Well, it comes to back to that sacrifice of thanksgiving. Because God has done so much for me, I give myself to Him to sacrifice myself to Him as a living sacrifice, and I will give myself to serve Him. Again, we can serve without thankfulness. We can. We can serve because it's an obligation, a duty, and we think, I have to do it, so I'll do it. But if we do it that way, our service will be lacking. What will it lack? It will lack joy. It will lack blessing. It will lack meaning. If we just do things because this is the way I'm supposed to serve, but we do them not from a thankful heart, but just from a, this is my job, got to do it, it'll lack joy. It'll lack that desire. Willing service is the outworking of thanksgiving and does bring joy. The joy in serving doesn't come from the aspect of service. It could be doing something that you really dislike. You know, if you have a servant's heart and you're thankful for what God has done and somebody asks you to clean the bathroom, you say, ew, the bathroom, it's the worst place to clean. But if you have a servant's heart about it and you say, I'm doing this as unto the Lord, because isn't that what we are told? Whatsoever we do, do it unto the Lord and not unto men. So we're doing it to serve God, and we say that I do this to serve God. Well, it can be joyful, even doing something horrible, clean the bathroom, or many other terrible things that you might think about that need to be done. You know that you can do something for somebody that you don't even like and enjoy doing it if you know you're doing it for the Lord because of what He's done for us. That's the difference, isn't it, between service out of thanksgiving. There are many things that I have done joyfully that I don't enjoy doing. So that's contradictory. You said joy and enjoy. You don't enjoy, but you did it joyfully. That doesn't make sense. No, it doesn't. Except for the fact that because I did them for God, I could enjoy doing them because I was serving God. And my heart was filled with what God had done for me, and therefore I did for Him. My first job, quote unquote, in the ministry as assistant pastor of Kitchener Baptist Church, part of my job, I was the church janitor. I was a church cleaner. Right? No, that's not very exciting, is it? Hey, I'm part-time on the staff at the church now. Great, what do? I clean. Oh, well, I thought you were the assistant pastor. Yeah, I know. I have been for a while, but now I get to clean as part of that. Because now I'm on the payroll for that. It's not very exciting, is it? Not a very romantic thought to think about. Wow. He's in the ministry now. He gets to clean the church. He gets to straighten all the chairs out. And then Sunday morning, people come in and start bumping them, moving out of the way, and then bringing in dirt off the parking lot. And you think, I cleaned this place this week, and look at it already. And you ladies know exactly what that's like, right? Straighten up the house, the kids come in, that's the end of it. Custodians from schools, right, Anna? Thankless job sometimes. But, you know, I did the job that I did. You know, I enjoyed doing it. Do I enjoy pushing a vacuum cleaner back and forth, dusting, cleaning windows? Not overly much, but because I was doing it for the Lord and I was so excited to be serving God, I can enjoy doing what I was doing. Because my thankful heart to God for what God had done in my life said, I get to serve God. And if serving God means running a vacuum cleaner around the church and straightening chairs and all kinds of other things, and then that's okay. If it gets dirty again right as soon as church starts Sunday morning because it's a rainy, lousy day and people bring stuff in, that's okay. I'll just pick up the stuff and next week I'll be vacuuming again anyway. It'll get cleaned up again. Doing a service in a nursing home was well outside my comfort zone. But when we ended up feeling compelled of the Lord and then were asked to do a service at a nursing home, that probably wasn't one of the most luxurious nursing homes. Matter of fact, probably one of the lesser cleanly kind of places. That's not my comfort zone. But you know, I enjoyed, for the most part, going in there and serving. Why? Because it was God I was serving. I was serving the Lord. And I appreciated what He had done for me. I'm not saying these things to trumpet myself in any way. I'm just saying that as an illustration, when we're thankful, we're willing to serve God. And if that does means other things that we wouldn't necessarily ordinarily enjoy, we can still do them with a joy in our heart. Humility to serve and love to serve come from a love for God and humility before Him. And they come when we recognize what God has done for us in our life. Jesus is our example of servanthood, and He said that being a servant is the greatest thing. Being the servant of all is great. We don't think about it that way often, do we? But we should realize the privilege that we have to serve for the Lord. The reason we don't serve like we ought to is because we feel entitled. Oh, we feel entitled, don't we? I shouldn't have to do that. Right? That's our attitude, isn't it? I shouldn't have to do that. Why shouldn't I have to do that? Somebody has to do it. Why shouldn't it be me? But we live in an entitled society, and it rubs off on us probably more than we think. But an entitled attitude doesn't lead to a servant's heart, doesn't lend itself well to a servant's heart. But when we recognize God, He's blessed me so much, I didn't deserve it, and I get to serve Him. And if I get to serve Him, if it's doing something that I think is below me, it's not below me at all, because it's a privilege to serve God who's done so much for me. The last one we'll look at is in Psalm 51, and we'll just look at it quickly tonight. In Psalm 51, verses 12 and 13, it's not in our text, but you can't think about what shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits toward me without thinking about reaching others for Christ. The fruits of our righteousness, the fruits of our thankfulness, rather, involve reaching others for Christ. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. We reach out joyfully when we see what God has done for us. A verse says that if we have the joy of our salvation, we'll want to tell other people about it. Whatever we find to be beneficial and helpful in life, we want to share it with other people that we want to help. Find something that helps you clean, you want to tell somebody about it. Find something that you find helps you get the job done, you want to tell somebody, hey, you try this new tool, it's great, it works really well. Find something that, you know, a kind of vehicle that gets you really good gas, hey, this is a great vehicle, it's been really good for me, and it gets really good mileage, whatever. We like to share the things that have been a help to us. How much more should it apply to our salvation? But David said, God, before I'm going to do that, I need to have a joy of my salvation in my own heart. David didn't have it because he had sinned against God. You know, our salvation won't mean much to us while we're living in sin. Sometimes we may think it kind of gets in the way because it makes me feel convicted for doing the wrong thing. But when we stop and think about our salvation and think about what God has done for us in saving us and realize the eternal and the temporal blessings that come with salvation, then we'll say, well, this is great. I need to tell somebody else about how wonderful God is and how wonderful His salvation is. Why? Because we're thankful for it. Joyfully reaching out, but joyfully impacting others. If you don't have joy in your salvation, you probably won't tell many other people about it. But the other way, flip side of that is, if you don't have joy in your salvation, others won't want to hear about it anyway. If you're a Grinch, a grump, sourpuss, say, well, yeah, I had to go to church yesterday. Yeah. No, you're not likely to reach very many people for Christ with that, are you? So we don't want to share when we don't have the joy of our salvation. But when we get the joy of our salvation, we have a desire to share. But when we have the joy of our salvation because we've been seeing what God has done, we're thankful, then it people looking at our life say, you know, there's something different about their life. They've got a joy of something that's beyond what I don't understand. What's going on in their life? Nobody wants another dead religion. You won't reach people if they can't see what salvation did for you. But if your life is filled with peace and joy, others will be more ready to hear. And how will it be filled with peace and joy when I count my blessings of how blessed I am to be saved? Then I will be able to reach out and show people a salvation that has changed my life and brought a joy into my heart. So what is the fruit of thanksgiving? Well, sure, there's many things we could talk about, but sacrifice. I'm willing to give up for God because He gave everything for me. Service. I will serve Him because I realize how blessed I am to be able to serve Him. And I will tell other people about Him and His salvation because I realize how great salvation through Jesus Christ is. The fruit of thanksgiving is not just thank you. Wow, happy Thanksgiving. Thanks, God. You blessed us. Let's carry on our way. Now, the fruit of thanksgiving is seen in these three things: sacrifice, service, and soul winning. If those things are lacking in your life, start at the beginning. Salvation. How thankful are you for it? Start counting your blessings, Christian, and think about what God has done. When you do that, you can go back up and revisit those things, and the sacrifice for the Lord will seem a lot easier. It's a reasonable service. It is service to serve others, and we'll want to reach others for Him. Let's pray together.